It's amazing what you can say without even saying a word. Thank you, Jennifer, tonight for that great, great job and blessing us in song this evening through her hands as far as in the realm of, again, sign language. Thank you again, Jennifer, for doing just that. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you to everyone for being here on this very rainy Monday night. I do appreciate the special effort that you've made to be here this evening. I realize it's not the most ideal conditions. I do realize that. And I do appreciate your diligence and commitment to be in the house of God tonight. And we greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I want to thank our pastor again. Thank you, Pastor Gordon, for this invitation to come and the church. Had a great time last evening. And again, thank you for the fellowship afterwards. Thank you for making me feel so welcome. And I had, a great time last evening. And looking forward, of course, to tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday evening, each night at 7 o'clock. And I do invite you back tomorrow night. Maybe it won't be raining like it has been tonight, you know. Maybe it won't be that way. Of course, we do need some rain. As our pastor said, maybe not all at one time. Gradually, it'll be a little bit better. But granted, we all definitely need the rain. And but thank you guys again. Let me also say thank you for your generosity also. It goes right towards the work of the Lord, I can promise you that. Radio and television time, you know, all cost, and through our outreach, through the computer and the internet and things of that nature. Thank you, because that enables us to be able to share abroad. I told you last evening, God has blessed us now to be on national television, so we're now reaching out, and you'll never know who's tuning in, who's watching. And I've heard from many individuals who've indicated to us, again, this morning I heard from Alabama and other states around the nation who tuned in last night to our broadcast. So again, you never know who's tuning in. I recall, it's been about maybe a year or two ago, I received a letter from a 15-year-old teenager, a girl, and she was watching our television broadcast, and she wrote me a letter, not typed email, but a written letter. Do you know how unusual that is to get a written letter this day and time? And then number two, from a teenager, I mean, a text or an email along that line there, but a written letter. And basically, she was saying in her letter that she was tuning into the broadcast, and at the conclusion, she received Christ as her Savior. That's what ministry is all about right there. That's what it's all about, is to illustrate from the Scriptures, to share the simple gospel, and then praise God that one who's watching has the courage and the faith to receive Christ in his finished work. So, again, thank you, and that's what your generous giving is going towards, and I greatly appreciate that. Well, again, I want to thank all our visitors for being here as well. My friend tonight, Jason, and others this evening, all in the area. I see those from Goldsboro area, Marmack, and thank you guys so much. It's so good to see each of you this evening. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. And I always take the time to do that, because if you guys were not here, I would have no one to speak to. So I appreciate that. I really do. I really do. And I wish my wife and my little girl could be with me. But as you all know, the logistics of it, being living, you know, in Greenville, and also, too, Wendy working all day long and getting home from work and getting the baby ready for bed. She's 3 months old. So it's been, as I said last evening, quite an adventure. And whenever, as soon as London gets to sleep, Wendy goes to bed soon after. She's tired again from a long day at the work, at the job, but I wish she could be with me. And as any proud dad would do, I showed Jennifer last night and some others pictures of our little girl. I got them somewhere in here. Oh, there she is right there. If it's all right tonight, I'll just use this as a pocket handkerchief. Is that okay? I'm joking. But here's, I know it's kind of hard to see where you're sitting. But there she is right there. She's 2.5 months old. And again, she's growing so quickly. This morning, she asked me before leaving, she wanted some lunch money. I'm like, no. What's so wild about it? It won't be long before that'll be happening, you know. But again, she's 3 months old. We're very thankful and very blessed in God's blessing. So thank you guys for being here this evening. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Again, it's so good to see my friends this evening coming out. I appreciate it so much. I love you guys, and just thank you for being a part of this immediate service. Matthew chapter 6. I begin by asking a rhetorical question, but how many here believes in the power of prayer? Do you mind lifting your hand? I believe that when we pray, God responds. I believe that prayer on the ground determines what God does in the heavens. I believe tonight that when we come to God in faith, believing, placing our entire confidence in Him, it activates and moves the hand of God in our life. You see, needs do not move the hand of God. It's our faith in God that moves His hand to meet our needs. Now listen very closely. Don't miss this. If needs move the hand of God, there will be no hungry people in the world tonight. So need is not what moves God's hand, but rather it's my faith in God and the finished work of Christ that moves God's hand to meet the needs in my life. Hebrews tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God, which is telling me that when I give God my faith, it pleases Him. It puts a smile upon His face because we're giving God our faith, illustrating our complete trust and confidence in Him. And you're here tonight, and maybe you're facing a situation in your life. I just want to encourage you to keep on praying, to keep knocking on heaven's door, for your Heavenly Father hears, He knows, and He responds. And it's in this time of revival that we're reminded of the basics of what it is to live a Christian life. Like any professional football team, when they have a loss and they lose, kind of like the Carolina Panthers right now, you got to go back to the basics. In other words, you got to run, catch, and block. The basics. You can't go into the great minute details, but rather you got to stick to the basics. And likewise, in our life as Christians, we have to be reminded of the basics of what it is to live a Christian life. And prayer is instrumental if we're to be successful as a child of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, Christ is communicating here. You'll see these red letters indicating that Christ is speaking. And He says in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." In other words, they want the glory here. Look at me. "Verily," or truly, Christ says, "I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 6, Christ says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Now listen very closely. We're to model ourselves after the person of Jesus. Jesus is illustrating to us from the Scriptures that when we go to God in prayer and we're seeking Him, that we're to go into our closets. And what He means here, not literally a broom closet. Now granted, that may be where you spend time with God in prayer, and that's perfectly fine. But it could be maybe on your living room sofa. It could be at the kitchen table drinking a cup of coffee. It may be in a car driving down the highway. Now that could be very difficult at times because you're in an attitude of prayer. "Dear God, thank you so much for this day." And someone pulls out in front of you. Oh, you know, you get all aggravated. So that can change. But it could be, different places. Sometimes it can be walking throughout the woods, nature. Walking out there and just looking at God's creation. For me, I know many times I will sit on the front porch of our home and just look up in space at the stars and like last week, the harvest moon, the huge moon, full moon last week. Just begin to talk to God. It just kind of helps me to realize the vastness of our God. And as I talk to Him, no one else is around. And when I pray, I don't pray, "Oh, dearest God in heaven." That's not the way I talk. When I pray, I don't talk King James, but rather I just talk to God like I'm talking to you all. The Bible says that Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I talked to Christ, who's my intercessor on the throne, as my friend, my Savior, and yes, my Lord. Heavenly Father, I need a special touch from you because Jesus is the mediator. And as we communicate, as we pray, Christ intercedes for each and every one of us. So I go to my prayer closet. Again, sometimes it can be in my living room with my Bible and devotional open, praying. Sometimes, again, it's on my front porch looking up at the stars. Maybe on a certain walk throughout the neighborhood as I'm just walking with my iPod listening to some Christian music. I'm walking, I'm just kind of in an attitude and mindset of prayer. I may not be talking, so to speak, but I'm just kind of meditating upon God and His goodness. And all of us as Christians, for us to flourish and succeed in life, we've got to have private devotional time with God because Christ illustrated through His own personal life. If Christ had to pull away from the crowd, don't you think we likewise must pull away from the crowd? Christ says that ye must come ye apart and rest a while. Think about it. I mean, hundreds of people are pressing in upon Christ. People who had needs and needed miracles in their life. But there came a point where Christ, He was physically tired because He was the Son of God, but He was also the Son of Man. And He was in a physical body. He got tired. And so Christ would say, guys, that's it for today. I'm pulling away. And He would go apart and He would pray. He would go to sleep. Because Christ understood what it meant to spend time with His Heavenly Father. Before Christ walked on top of the water, He was alone in a mountain apart to pray, the Bible says. The secret to Christ's public power was His private praying. Let me say that again. The secret to Christ's public power was His private praying. To be successful, you and I have to got to spend time in the secret place. When no one else knows, where just you and I are just talking to God in our own way. Again, with your Bible open, your devotional in hand. If you have a devotional. I know I have a devotional and I read a devotional. I have like 3 or 4 devotionals and I read each one, you know, and I have my Bible and I read the scripture text from that certain devotion, you know, and I pray. It's just something that I do. Everybody has their own unique way that they approach God in prayer. And that's fine. But make that appointment because He's there waiting for you. But I love what He says here. He says in verse 6, "And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy door." Again, spending time in seclusion with God. Private devotional time. If you have your Bible still open, would you please turn to John chapter 20? I want to show you something here. John chapter 20. Recall, the secret to Christ's public power was His private praying. To say that tonight, ministry just doesn't happen. In other words, choir and Sunday school classes and youth events, and our time last night in the fellowship hall, that just doesn't happen. And to the ladies, you guys did a wonderful job last night. Let me say it to you again, that was wonderful. And that just didn't happen. There was a time of preparation to have all those nice desserts and food and the dips. All that took preparation. You just didn't go, boom, there it was. No, it took preparation. And likewise in ministry, it just doesn't happen. You have to prepare, you have to study, you have to practice, you have to seek God, ask Him for His anointing. In Sunday school classes, a teacher prepares and studies. We as ministers, we prepare and we study. To those in choir, in music, you prepare, you practice, you learn new music. To those who do sign language, I mean, you learn new signs, I guess. All of us have a unique ministry, as we talked about last night. All of us are different. But it takes time to pull away and allow God to replenish us. And that's what revival is about, is to pull away from the busyness of life. And how many knows life is busy? It's very busy. We pull away and we spend time with God alone in seclusion saying, God, Heavenly Father, I need a fresh refill. That's when God can do it. In our own private devotional time. I see in the scriptures in John chapter 20, looking at verse 19. What's happened? Christ has been crucified. The disciples are scared because what happened to Jesus very well could happen to them. It says in verse 19 of John 20, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut." Notice here that the doors were shut. Recall Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6. "And the disciples were assembled." They were gathered together in fear of the Jews. "And came Jesus. And Christ stood in the midst, in the middle of them, and said to them," in red letters again, Christ speaking, "Peace be unto you." Notice here, these words initially did not capture, well, captured their attention, I'm sure, but peace was not yet, they didn't yet have the peace. You'll see why in just a moment. "And when he has so said, Christ, he showed unto them his hands and side." Recall the nail-pierced hands and the side that was thrust through a spear that went to his heart to make sure that Christ was dead on the cross. "Then were the disciples glad." Then were the disciples glad. Notice in verse 19, "Peace be unto you." At that moment, peace was not yet, but verse 20 says, "Then were the disciples glad when they saw the wounds," when they saw the scars. It validated, this is the Son of God. This is our Messiah. This is Jesus who was on the cross. Verse 21 says, "Then said Jesus to them again," here they go, the words, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he has said this, Christ, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So you see a miracle that's taken place behind these shut doors. Here's the point I want to make. These guys, the disciples, were gathered, assembled together in fear, thinking to themselves, hey, what happened to Jesus could happen to us. These guys shut the door. No one's getting in this place. But right in the middle of their fear, Jesus Christ appears. "Peace be unto you." He then shows his hands, his wounds, his side. Then were the disciples glad. And once again, he speaks peace. And how many knows only God can give you peace? I tell people, the only way to have peace of mind is to have your mind on the Prince of Peace. There's no pill that can give you peace. Only God can give you peace. Well, I like to say this, the only pill that can give you peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the only one. We've tested many medications at our jobs, and none of those pills give you peace and joy and satisfaction. None. Only Jesus Christ. And we see the Prince of Peace appears in the midst of this room in fear. He shows his hands and side. He shows his wounds. And behind those shut doors, a miracle takes place. They receive peace in the midst of fear, in the midst of confusion, not understanding why did Jesus have to leave so quickly? Why did he have to die? They didn't understand. And we also see in these same scriptures, he breathed on them, and they were, and it says here, and they received the Holy Ghost. In other words, tonight they were endued with power as well to say, you know what? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, we're commissioned to go. And for church and for ministry, you cannot do this thing by yourself. None of us can. Living the Christian life, you cannot do this by yourself. You need the Holy Ghost in your life to live a successful Christian life. Oh, it's great. It's easy to serve God in church. Oh, we can praise God and sing the songs like that. But great day, a whole new ball game when you exit this place and go back in the workforce, back into your home, back into the regular routine of life. We, all of us, need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives to enable us to live a life of victory. And every one of us in this room must understand we can only go forth with power by spending time with God behind the shut doors, asking God, Lord, more of you, less of me. Remember, we must decrease, he must increase, correct? Not for our glory, no way. I love what our pastor said in his prayer, and I pray it all the time myself. Lord, may you get the glory. I stand behind the cross because Jesus Christ, he's the one. He says, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. He's saying in layman's terms, I'll be the magnet that draws all souls to myself. Not lifting ourselves up, but rather lifting up the name of Jesus. It's behind those closed doors. You realize how dependent you are upon Him. Behind those shut doors. It reminds me in the book of, if you would turn there, in the book of Kings. Book of 2 Kings, in fact. Using that same phrase, shut door, or words behind the shut door. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Let me just kind of lay the framework very quickly. A lady has a need. A widow woman has a need. She has no money, her two sons, and the creditors want their money. And she has no money to give. And the Bible says that Elijah the prophet, 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. We see in the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 4 where Elisha, the prophet, he comes on the scene. In verse 1 it says this, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead." So she's a widow woman. "And thou knowest that thy servant did fear, had reverent fear of the Lord. And the creditor," the credit card company, "wants their money." She ain't got the money. "And they said, we want to come and take unto us your two sons to be our bondmen or our slaves." That's our payment. That's what's going to be your payment. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save or except a pot or jar of oil. Then the prophet said, Elisha, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few." So he says, here's the instruction, go, borrow vessels. Borrow vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. I want you to go down Paketown Road and get every vessel that you can find. I want all the empty cups, every empty pot, every empty pan. You know that one you make casserole in, that little container? Get every bit of it. All that you can find, he says, go. And this, you know, I've seen a church sign that said this, and it's always stuck with me. 2/3 of God's name is go. Isn't that correct? Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Here's the thing. I don't want you to get one or two, three or four, five, six. I want you to get every one that you can find. Borrow not a few. That's what the prophet says. You see, with every miracle that we desire in our lives always hinges upon an instruction. In order to receive a miracle, an instruction is given. Again, it validates if we do trust the very one who we believe will bring forth the manifestation in our life. It says there in verse 4, "And when thou art come in," look at verse 4, "thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels you got on Paketown Road from your neighbors, you know, all those vessels you got, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him, the prophet, and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So here in your mind's eye, imagine with me, the two sons coming in, arms are full of boxes that are full of containers, of pots and pans and vessels and things of that nature. They come in, "Mom, where do you want them?" "Well, the prophet said to take all these vessels and go behind the shut door." So he says, okay. So they lay them all down, and the mom shuts the door, and the Bible says she begins to pour out of that one jar of oil. She begins to pour out. She begins to pour out. And as she begins to pour out, something begins to take place. Look at verse 6. "And it came to pass when the vessels were full." Vessels is plural, not one. Remember, she had one full vessel initially, one jar of oil. "When the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Son, bring me yet another vessel. And he said, Mom, there's not a vessel more." In other words, "Mom, we don't have any more empty vessels." And the oil stayed or stopped flowing. Verse 7. "Then she came and she told the man of God," who is the prophet Elisha, "and he said, Go." There's that word go again. 2/3 of God's name is go. "Go, sell the oil and pay off the credit card company, and live thou and thy children of or off the rest." Now, you see the need. Financially, she had a need. She needed provision, correct? Jehovah Jireh, you recall in the book of the Genesis, God provided the ram for the burnt offering. Abraham, you recall, sacrificing his son Isaac. And God provided the ram caught in the thicket of the thorns. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. We see likewise here, provision is being made. He is our source. When you're behind the closed doors, once again, you realize who your source is. So many times we can think that our job is our source, but no. That's a conduit. God is our source. God is our supplier. He's the one who gives us the ability, the help to go to the job. He's the one who gave us the job. He's the one who gives us the ability to do the job, as far as mentally. He's the one. And we see in the scriptures here that she goes behind this shut door and she takes the one jar of oil. She begins to pour out. Now she's got two vessels. So what does she do? She has another empty vessel. Well, she now takes the second vessel and pours into the third vessel. Now she has three vessels full of oil. Son, bring me another one. Okay, Mom, here comes another one. And she pours, and now they got four. And then five, then six. You see what's happening now? More and more multiplication is happening here. Initially, one jar of oil. All she had in the house was one jar of oil. How many recognizes God can take the little and make much out of it? So many times we say to ourselves, you know what? If I had more, God can then use me. Mm-mm. Be faithful with the little, and God can entrust you with more. Be faithful right where you are, in your ministry, wherever you are tonight. Working in the church, whatever it may be. You may be a prayer warrior, a Sunday school teacher. We spoke about this last evening. You may work and clean the church. Fixing a meal. I'm going to tell you something. That's a ministry in itself. It's great. It's awesome. I can boil water. I can do that. I can fix Chef Boyardee in the microwave. I can do that. But when it comes to fixing the chicken casserole, forget it. I mean, I have no idea. Where do you start? I mean, I know you have the container. I guess you need chicken, you know, but I don't know. Be faithful right where you are. You'll never know who you're impacting. You'll never know the eternal impact that you're having upon someone's life. You'll never know. And that's why God desires for us to be faithful right where we are and obey His calling upon our life. And this widow woman, she obeyed the instruction from the prophet. He got the word from God, the word from the Lord, and he relayed the message to the widow woman, "Ma'am, what do you have in the house?" And I ask the same question to you guys and to myself tonight. What do we have in the house? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. What is in here that God has blessed you and given you and gifted you to do? What is in the house? I want to encourage yourself or myself and you to take what God has given us and allow God to use you and watch what He'll do. And the Bible says here that all these vessels became full and she was able to pay off the credit card company because she sold the oil and she paid off her debt. The need was provided, praise God. But the miracle took place where? Behind the shut. I believe sometimes there's some miracles, some breakthroughs, some victories that we desire that can only take place when you and I seek God behind the closed doors. I thank God for corporate prayer. We need corporate prayer. Like tonight, coming together and praying and seeking God. We all need corporate prayer. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." We all need to be in church because you're there to lift me up and I'm there to lift you up. We encourage each other. That's what church is all about. We're not to be in isolation. No. That's not what God says. He says, "Come ye apart and be ye separate, saith the Lord of hosts. Then I will receive you." In other words, we can live clean in a dirty world. That's what He's saying. You're in this world, but you're not of this world, He's saying. And what you and I must do is when we come together like this, we encourage each other, we build each other up spiritually. But there are some things that can only happen when you and I seek God behind the closed doors. When you and I just begin to pour out. Because sometimes we don't want to pour out in church. If I begin to pour out, people can begin to talk. If I come to the altar, they're going to say something is wrong with me and that person. It don't mean nothing's wrong. It means something's right. When you come to the altar, there's nothing wrong coming to the altar, whatever it may be. I mean, people think if you go to the altar again, something's wrong in their life. No. This is prayer time. A time when you come and you begin to talk to your Heavenly Father. It could be for salvation, yes. It may be prayer for somebody else. It may be prayer for yourself or a job situation. This is time to talk with God. And how bad it would be and how sad it would be to have a sermon and never give people an opportunity to pray. It's like a joke with no punchline. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God that we can come to an altar and pray. But my friend, you can make an altar right there in your prayer closet. In other words, you can bend your knees and pray to God and begin to open up to Him and begin to pour out, being open, honest, and transparent. And when you begin to pour out, let me just tell you, God begins to pour back into you spiritually. He does. And you'll leave that prayer closet wherever it may be, on a living room sofa, walking throughout a nature trail, riding a bike, listening to your iPod. You'll walk away and you'll feel renewed in your spirit. It's like you've just gotten physically, it's like Gatorade or something. You got this energy burst, but it's spiritually. You walk away like, man, a breath of fresh air. He breathed on them, the Bible says in John 20 again. And that represents life. Got a second wind. Great day in the morning. I thank God for those second winds. Sometimes I am totally depleted. I'm like, I am worn out. I am physically, mentally, spiritually exhausted. But great day when I spend time with Him. Breeze. I begin to pour out. He begins to pour back in. And I love what the scripture says again. It says that when there was no more empty vessels, the oil stopped, quit flowing. I believe sometimes what happens, how can I say this? When we come to church, we're to empty ourselves so God can pour back in. But how many times we come to church, we don't say it verbally, but our actions can illustrate this. We don't say it verbally, but God bless me if you can. We're so full of many things in our lives, and God desires to pour in, but what's happening, God can't pour in unless we give out. You see, God blesses our emptiness, not our fullness. He blesses our dependence, not our independence. He blesses our weakness, not our strength. In other words, what God desires from us, He desires a yielded, humble vessel. 2 Timothy says, to be a vessel of honor that is sanctified, that is set apart, that is prepared and met for the Master and His use. And many times we come not allowing God to use us. Recall, we are a vessel of honor for God. He's prepared us. And we're not allowed God to pour into us. God blesses our dependence upon Him. He is drawn to our humility. He is drawn toward our dependence. He realizes that we need Him, and we must realize that we need Him. Christ said in John 15, apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing. Nothing, nothing. We can try, but you can't do anything apart from Christ. And it's behind those closed doors that God fills our emptiness. And here's the thing I want to point out here in the scriptures in 2 Kings 4. The more empty vessels this lady had, the more full or the more wealthy she became. Her cumulative emptiness determined her cumulative fullness. So the more empty she had, the more full, the more she could receive. And likewise tonight, the more we empty ourselves of the burdens and the cares and the worries of this world and give it to Him, that's when God will fill you and endue you with power, and you'll recognize, Heavenly Father, without you, I could not do this thing. It all takes place behind the closed doors. I can only minister as I've been ministered to. I can only motivate as I've been motivated. I can only inspire as I've been inspired. How can you be effective in ministry unless you first been ministered to? You can't give out unless it comes in, correct? That's pretty much common sense. You can't give out unless it first comes in. And for us to be successful as Christians, during these revival meetings, I want to remind you once again, that's what revival is all about. It's that God can pour back into us. I was doing a word search throughout the scriptures for closed or shut doors. And I came across a few stories as I come to a close tonight. A few stories that I believe you'll recognize about the shut door. Miracles taking place behind the shut doors. You recall Paul and Silas? It was behind the closed doors of a prison cell that they received the miraculous by being set free of their physical bondage. You recall? In the midnight hour, they began to praise and worship God, and God miraculously set them free behind the shut doors of a prison cell. You recall Daniel? Behind the closed doors of a lion's den, where God muzzled the mouths of these man-eating lions, God spared Daniel's life. You recall Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, the teenagers? Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you don't bow to my golden image, you shall surely burn." The guy says, "We ain't bowing." The trumpet played, the music played, they didn't bow. So Nebuchadnezzar, furious, said, "Okay, guys, guards, make the fire seven times hotter." The Bible says the very guys who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in were consumed by the flames, the heat of this fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar, some way, somehow, appears inside, and he sees four men walking in the fire, and the fourth like unto the Son of God. It was behind the closed doors that God showed up. How about Jairus' 12-year-old daughter? You recall her? She had passed away. People didn't believe. They Christ shows up and they didn't believe that he could come back, that she could come back to life. They didn't believe it. Christ says, "Okay, there's the door right there. Everyone get out. Peter, James, John, you guys come in. Mom and Dad, come on in." They believed. And they shut the door, and the Bible says Christ prayed a very simple prayer. In layman's terms, "Arise, maiden." And life came back into that little 12-year-old girl who was dead. The miracle takes place behind the shut door. And I would say it is, most definitely, the greatest miracle of all. The greatest miracle of all behind the shut door of a stone. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The greatest miracle of all times, where Jesus Christ, behind the shut door of a stone, conquered death, hell, and the grave. When Satan thought he had won, little did he know that Christ would come back. Come forth in victory. On that Friday, it didn't look too good. But praise God, Sunday, as we know, was coming. And behind that closed door, that's why you and I have victory tonight. While we can come together like this on a rainy Monday monsoon night and worship our God, have a smile upon our face, because victory is ours, because the miracle took place behind the shut door. The Bible says, once again, "If you seek me secretly, I will reward you openly." And we see where Christ was seen by over 500 people, I think around like 10, 11, 12, 13 different locations, something like that. He was seen, and people saw Christ ascend up into the clouds. And the angel said, "This same Jesus that you see going up, great day, he's coming back." Christ says in Revelation, "Surely I come quickly." Behind the closed doors, the miracle took place. And you and I tonight see openly what Christ has done and accomplished for you and I. But it all takes place behind the closed doors. Jesus always poured out to his heavenly Father. Jesus illustrated what you and I are to do. If Christ, the Son of God, had to pull away from the busyness and the chaos of life, so must we. He's our model once again. That was the secret to Christ's success. He went alone in a mountain apart to pray, and he talked to his heavenly Father. I recall when I was watching the movie The Passion of the Christ back in 2004, you recall in the movie that Mel Gibson made. In the very opening scene, you recall when Christ was in the garden. And you recall how the devil was speaking to him and how Christ was in great pain and travail because he knew what was to come, of bearing the sins of the entire world. And the Bible says his sweat became as drops of blood. And you saw the agony that he was under. as he prayed, "Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Remember, this was alone, he was alone now in the garden praying. The devil is trying to come against him and to stop the plan of God. But I love this part of the movie. If you recall, Jesus, it's like he gets his game face on. And he steps on the head of that sorry serpent. And he rises up. And the story continues to unfold. You see, in that garden, his heavenly Father strengthened and enabled him. Because Christ, as you saw the movie, he was beaten, publicly flogged, carried his cross to Golgotha. And we see, I mean, we would have died at the beating. And when I saw that, it broke me. When I left that movie, I was emotionally exhausted. I was like, oh, I was so tired. As I was tense in the entire movie, watching my Savior take a beating for me. But Christ was able to do this because he spent time with God behind the shut door, alone in a garden. And he stepped on that sorry devil's head. Praise God, tonight when he got his game, he had his game face on, man. And praise God, he went all the way. Amen. I'm going to ask tonight, if Lisa doesn't mind coming, as we close our service this evening. And like last night, we had a time of prayer, a time of invitation. And our invitation on him, 478. Is that correct? 478. And like last evening, our pastor may mention how this altar is open for you. And as we sing this invitational hymn tonight, if you need special prayer this evening, myself, Pastor Gordon, we'll be glad to pray with you. For any need or concern in your life, we'll be glad to pray with you. If you just want to come tonight and kneel or stand or sit on the first couple of pews, that's fine as well. But I want to invite you to find a place. If you tonight feel led in your heart and in your spirit to move out from where you are, just talk to your Heavenly Father. This is prayer time. You and God talking to each other. You come forward tonight, it doesn't mean something is wrong. It means something is right. And I want to encourage you to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as you come tonight, allow God to minister and speak into your life. That's what revival is about. Don't leave tonight feeling the same way when you came in. I mean, great day. We came in tonight, and believe me, I understand. You know, the great stress it took you all to get here through all the hydroplaning and the rain, the windshield wipers, and then getting out and you had to come in the rain. I mean, I pray tonight that you leave this place completely different than the way you came in. In other words, to leave refreshed in your spirit, spiritually renewed in your heart and in your life. It only comes to coming to him in prayer. So at this invitational hymn, page 478, and if you need Christ tonight as your personal Savior, I invite you to say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I receive your finished work on the cross. Come and be the Lord of my life. I receive in faith." And the Bible says you are saved. If you need Christ tonight, I invite you to come. I invite you to see Pastor Gordon. You can come to me. We'll be glad to pray with you, lead you in a simple prayer. But this altar is open for anyone who desires to come and pray. So if you don't mind, would you please stand to your feet this evening? Page 478. And as we sing these verses, and the name of our song tonight is "I Need Thee." Is that "I Need Thee Every Hour"? During the course of this four verses, if you desire to come and pray, I invite you to come. Let us sing this evening, "I Need Thee Every Hour."
cannot have revival without an humble heart, without prayer. I trust that some hearts have been touched and convicted. And I trust that you will act upon this conviction and not just put it off, not just say, I'm too good for this. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, please touch hearts. Send your Holy Spirit to break open the stony heart and give peace to those that are truly seeking peace and convict those that need to be convicted. We ask if there is one among us who has heard the message 1,000 times but does not know you, that they're relying on good works or church attendance or any other thing other than your Son for their sin, and we are all sinners, that you would convict them also, that they would receive you before it's eternally too late. Bless each person as they go about their ways. Bring many and any that can come back tomorrow as we continue. Help this church to be set afire with revival. We humbly ask it in your Son's name. For his sake we pray. Amen.